Amen. Good morning. I know you're all saying good morning to me at home. Thanks, Tom. I'm just delighted to be here this morning. I can't quite believe that it is the 20th of December and it is so close to Christmas. What a crazy year 2020 has been. I know that we will all remember it for different things. And I know this morning that many of us, as Nicholas said, will have disappointments. I know I do. But today we're just going to remember just the most important thing, because this morning we are going to be worshipping Jesus, the King of Kings. And we're going to be hearing about who he is. So I don't know what your year has looked like. I know my year has certainly not been as I anticipated. And as I was thinking about my year now, so I was thinking about Christmas and kind of reflecting on it, I was thinking and remembering at the start of the year when I heard that I was going to have to homeschool 3 children and go to work. And at that point, I thought, oh, it'll just be for a month. And I remember standing in the garden crying, thinking, how on earth am I going to homeschool my kids for a month? And then it kind of went longer and longer and longer. And there we were after 6 months. And it's interesting when you've been through a time like that. And I looked back on it, I thought, how did I kind of get through that for me personally, juggling that thing? And I realized and remembered, I thought, I got through it because every day I invited God to be with me. And I acknowledged that God was with me and that he was my help and that he was my strength. And one of my favorite verses about Christmas, and it's kind of where we're going to go this morning, is from Matthew 1, verse 23, which says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Isn't that just the most incredible message that we all need to remember each and every day, not just on Christmas Day, but in July, in August, March, whenever, that God is with us. And I've known God with me throughout this year, throughout the ups and throughout the downs. And something else that I've done lots of this year, other than homeschooling, is I've done lots of walking. I don't know if you've done lots of walking. I know my kids have probably been made to walk more than they've ever had to walk before, because let's be honest, there hasn't been that many other things to do. So I think this Christmas, most kids and most dogs in the land will be begging for mercy for just a few days off from having walks. But what's been interesting when I've been on walks, especially during the start of lockdown when we weren't really allowed to drive anywhere and we were just kind of in the very place where we live, is that I went to places round and about. I live in a village, just to say, in the county of Durham. And I saw things that I hadn't seen before because I just hadn't kind of stopped. I'd always driven off somewhere. And that was kind of, I think, a gift, that I could see things that I hadn't seen before. I also spent more time in my garden than I have before, that kind of slowing down when there wasn't a great deal of other things to do. And behind my house, there is a wood. And before this year, I hadn't seen what I've had the joy of seeing this year. And when I've been looking out on that wood, one day I was sitting there on a Saturday morning, I was on my bed, and I thought there was an absolutely huge dog, because people walk their dogs out there all the time. And I noticed this thing, and I looked, and I thought, hang on, is that a dog? And I realized that it wasn't a dog. In fact, it was a deer, and it was absolutely beautiful. And as I looked, and I looked, and I really looked, because these creatures are incredibly well camouflaged. The only way I could see it is when it turned around, it had a little white bottom. And then I noticed, and I looked, and there was more of them, and there was a whole family, and they were there for ages, and I couldn't take my eyes off of them because they were so beautiful. And there's been other times this year when I've just looked and looked and looked to see if those deer are there, and they haven't been. And other times I've seen them, and that's been a real delight. And about a month ago, I saw them in the wood at the back of my house, and a little verse came to me from the Bible, and I felt like God spoke to me about something. I just want to share it with you this morning. And it's from a book in the Old Testament called Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 39, verse 13, Jeremiah says this about God. Sorry, God says this. He says, "You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Let me just say that again. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I wouldn't have seen those deer unless I'd slowed down and I'd looked and I'd looked and I'd looked. Because there will be so many times when those deer will have been in that wood. But because it doesn't matter what season it is, whether there was leaves or there wasn't leaves, they were constantly camouflaged. And I had to really want to see them. And I had to really want to look for them. And it was in the slowing down, and it was in the stopping, and it was in the making space, and it was in my desire, because I think they're beautiful, to see them, that I did. And you know, in this year, when things have been so different, we've had so many limits put on us, so many restrictions on our kind of socializing, on our ability to work, on just the simple things that we all just love, of seeing our friends and seeing our family. Maybe even being able to put food on our table or provide for our children. There have been so many challenges. But I think within all of us, this must stir some kind of bigger questions. And maybe this year, for the first time, you've begun to think, is there more to life than this? You know, those things are great, those things are good, but is there something more? And last night I stood in my garden, and many know that I like to talk about my rabbit. Anyway, last night I just went out to feed him, and as I stood out there, I looked up at the sky, and it was a perfectly beautiful, clear night, and I saw all the stars. And I often like to stand in my garden just in those minutes on my own, and I just like to look up, and I just like to remember the majesty and the hugeness of the God of the universe. And I stood there last night in my garden, and I just thought, nothing at the minute is how I would want it to be or how any of us would want it to be. But I looked up and I thought, God, I know that you are the King of the universe and that you are with us. So who is God and what is he like? Maybe you're watching this morning, you think, well, do you know, you talk about God, but I don't even know what he's like. Well, if we want to know what God is like, we need to look at the life of Jesus in the Bible. John 14, Jesus answered, he said to his friend Philip, Philip was one of his disciples, and he said to me, he said, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? And this is the bit I want you to hear. He said this, he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? So if we want to know what God is like, then we need to look in the Bible and we need to look at the person of Jesus. And there's a word that I learned when I did A-level RE, and it's that God is omnipresent. And I'm sure most of you know what that means, but in case you don't, it means God is everywhere. He is present everywhere. And that's kind of one of the facets of God. He's everywhere. But the thing about God, he doesn't just want to be everywhere. He doesn't just want to be the God who's up there in creation. That he wants to be here with us. He wants to be here with me, and he wants to be here with you. Because he created us, and he loves us. He loves you. And I think people just need to hear that message this morning, that, you know, God just loves you with his whole heart. You are his treasure. He loves you, and he sees you in the very place you are today. And Luke 19, verse 10 says this. It says, For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. And the Bible says that no matter kind of how sorted we are in life, no matter what we've got going on in our life, but before we know Jesus for ourselves, spiritually, that we are lost. And that is why God sent Jesus. He sent him for me, and he sent him for you. So one of my other kind of lockdown methods of entertainment, other than Sudoku, walking, has been watching The Crown. I'm a little bit obsessed with The Crown. I'm very sad because I've now watched every series and every episode of it. I know it's not everyone's thing, but I like it. If you have seen it, my favourite character is Princess Margaret. I like her because she's a little bit spicy and a bit fiery and a bit rebellious and really glamorous and quite rude at times. And I'm just always quite amazed by the things she comes out with in it. But a thing that it's made me kind of really reflect on It's just kind of thinking about all the kind of protocol in the royal family. I find it incredible how everyone has to bow to each other, and it's kind of, it was just amazing to watch that. But what was amazing to think about was to think about the contrast of a human royal family and the difference between thinking about God Almighty, the King of the universe. One of my favorite lines from Princess Margaret that she said in one of the last episodes I watched, she said this, said, "I am the daughter of the king, I am the sister of the queen." Saying kind of, that is who I am, that is my status, that is my importance, and I should be treated so. And I was just thinking about Jesus, and I was thinking how completely opposite the person of Jesus is. Because he humbled himself. And Philippians, it's a book in the New Testament, and it says this about Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. It says, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." God Almighty, holy and perfect, the creator of the entire universe, who put every planet and every star in the sky, came at Christmas as a vulnerable, helpless baby. To young parents, in the middle of a cattle shed or a cave, whatever it was, he came to humble circumstances. He was visited by shepherds who were kind of deemed the lowest in society, and he was visited by kings. They came to worship him because they understood who he was, that he'd come to be with them. And they came to worship him because as human beings, that is what we are made to do. We are made to worship God. And 2,000 years later today, even though we can't kneel down at that crib side of Jesus, we can't touch him, we'd probably have to be 2 meters away at least anyway, even if we could. But you know, the truth is that he is still with us by his Spirit, and he longs to be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And he comes to be with you. And whether when you think about your life today, you can relate more to the kings who came, or to the shepherds, or kind of someone in between, he came for you. And I just want to tell you about a story from the New Testament that's very, very un-Christmassy, but I think it has an incredible point behind it, and I think God really wants to say something to us this morning through it. So it's the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was famous for being short, but I want to make him famous for something better this morning. So if you don't know much about Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He worked for the Roman Empire. The Romans were absolutely despised where they were, because they were just generally pretty awful, and tax collectors weren't the most popular. But Zacchaeus, on top of being a chief tax collector, he was also a thief. He also kind of used to siphon off extra money and keep it for himself, and people knew this. So where he lived in Jericho. He was totally disliked by people. So I'm just going to read this, and it's from Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So Zacchaeus came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this, and they started to mutter, 'He's gone to be the guest of a sinner.' But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too, a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And I tell you this story this morning because Zacchaeus recognized a need in his life for Jesus. He had all the money and probably a lovely house and all those things. But he recognized in his life that he had a need for Jesus. That there was more to life than what he was currently living. And he went out of his way to seek out Jesus. He heard he was coming and he was determined. And I just love the fact that Zacchaeus was so determined that he made a public spectacle of himself, a grown man, by climbing a tree. And I think as well that he made even more of a spectacle of himself because everyone probably laughed at him for being short and they knew that that is why he had to climb that tree, because he couldn't see over the crowd. So he highlighted his weakness. He made a fool of himself by getting up in this tree because he was past caring what other people thought about him. He put himself in a place where his enemies talked about him and they laughed about him because he knew in his life that there had to be more to life than this. And he knew if Jesus was passing by that he was going to do anything in his power to see Jesus. And you know, Zacchaeus could have hidden from Jesus because Zacchaeus knew that he was not a good man. He could have hidden in his shame. But he saw something in Jesus that made him want to reach out to him. And Jesus called out to Zacchaeus out of that place, knowing exactly who he was and exactly what it's like, and said, I'm going to come to your house because I think that you are good enough. And I want to know you and I want you to know me. The Bible says in Romans 2 verse 4, it says it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It's the kindness of God that leads people to say sorry. And Jesus is full of kindness. And it was that love and it was that acceptance that made Zacchaeus want to come to know Jesus. And as we come and we hear this Christmas message that we've probably heard so many times before, if you haven't yet invited Jesus into your life, I wonder what it is that stops you. I wonder whether it's self-sufficiency, thinking that, well, I don't need Jesus. I've got friends and I've got family and I've got my life and I don't need Jesus. Maybe it's the fear of your reputation, of what other people would think about you, what other people would say about you if they heard that you had decided that you wanted to be a Christian. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus wants to come and he wants to be with you. Jesus Christ came to the earth as a tiny baby to seek and to save us and to bring us back to our Heavenly Father. And Romans says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done stuff and thought stuff and had attitudes in our heart that just do not measure up to our perfect Heavenly Father. And Jesus came to be with us, to show us what God is like. But he didn't just come to show us what God is like, he came to bring us back to God. And the Bible says that he did that by dying for each and every one of us on the cross. His blood shed on the cross for each and every one of us for all time means that we can be completely and utterly forgiven. And the Bible teaches a really uncomfortable truth, that what we decide about Jesus won't just affect how we live today and how we live next week and how we live next month, but that decision decides where we will spend eternity. The message of Christmas is that Emmanuel, God, is with us. But the question is, will you choose to say, Emmanuel, come and be with me? That takes God from being omnipresent and everywhere to coming and living in our heart by faith. Zacchaeus humbled himself. Zacchaeus embarrassed himself because Zacchaeus knew that he needed Jesus. Ephesians 3 verse 17 says this, that Christ may make his home in your heart through faith. This Christmas, Christ wants to make his home in your heart through faith. And what do we do to get that? What do we do? Surely we must have to do something. Yes, we do have to do something. We just simply And in a few moments, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And the band are going to come up, and they're going to start to play. And we're going to have a time when we worship. So I don't know if the band want to come up now. That would be great. But maybe just in this moment, as we ponder on that message, Emmanuel, God with us. Who is Jesus to you this Christmas? And before I say that prayer, I just want to share a little something with you. And last night, my little girl, she's seven, she said to me, she goes, Mom, she goes, I had a dream last night about Jesus. I'm like, all right. So that's interesting. She said, yes. She goes, I had a dream about Jesus. And he came to school and he was in the playground. And I took all my friends to see him and I gave him a big hug. I said, oh, lovely. I said, that's great. And he said, but then he came to Auntie Emma's house. That's her auntie. And he took me by the hand and we walked there together and he helped me cross the road. And he said, and we were all there and our whole family was there. And he gave us all hugs. And I said, well, what was he like? She said he was really, really, really kind. And as I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about Zacchaeus and about how Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house, it suddenly occurred to me that I think that something that God wants to remind us of, that no matter where we are this Christmas, maybe we're on our own, maybe we're sad because we're not on our own, but we're not seeing who we want to see. If we know Jesus, if we've made him part of our life, this Christmas, he comes into our house to be with us. And he is very, very kind. So on Christmas Eve, let's remember Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is in my house. I can't see him, but he's here by his spirit. On Christmas Day, Jesus is in my house. I can't see him, but he's there by his spirit. On Boxing Day, Jesus is in my house and he is very, very kind. And if you would like Jesus to be in your house, you would like Jesus to be in your heart through faith, know that he is very, very kind and that he loves you. I'm going to pray, and if you would like to invite Jesus to come and live in your heart through faith, then wherever you are, wherever you're watching this from, today or even during the week when you watch it, it doesn't matter. Then invite you to pray it in your heart. You might want to pray it out loud or quietly in your head. But I'm just going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave your only son Jesus to come to earth. Thank you that you sent Jesus to earth for me. Jesus, I invite you to come and live in my heart by faith. I believe that you are real. I'm sorry for all the things that I've thought and done that are wrong. Please forgive me. This Christmas, I invite you this minute, say, Lord Jesus, come and live in my heart. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Amen. The Bible says if you said that prayer, then like Jesus said to Zacchaeus, salvation has come to this house today. Salvation has come to your house today. And the Bible says that we shouldn't keep that a secret, but we should tell somebody. And we'd love you to tell somebody. Maybe you want to come on one of our Zoom calls. You want to put it in the chat. Or maybe you want to email the church office. That's office@lifevineyard.church. We would love you to do that. We can't promise that we'll get straight back to you on an email because many of us are not around at the moment answering email, but we will get back to you. And if you've just heard this message this morning, you think, I would like to know more about Jesus before I make that decision, we'd love you to come on, join us on the Alpha Course. If you have prayed that prayer, we'd love you to join us on the Alpha Course. If you've got questions, we would love you to join us on that. You know, our plans might have changed for Christmas, but Christmas is all about Christ. And whatever we're doing over the next week or so, let's just remember that.